Good day, Asbury. We were experiencing some difficulties here, but we are back and we are here at the Embrace Radio Show. And welcome back. Hi, Esther. How are you?
Hi, Sophie. I'm doing great. And how are you?
Good. Doing all right. Maria?
I'm good. That was fun music to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of technical difficulty, but we're okay.
Yes.
And we're here.
Yes.
So we're back after 2 weeks. Last 2 weeks ago, we interviewed Estrella Waite from LSA, and she talked to us about several things, immigration, DACA. It was great to hear her story. Today, we have a new guest with us. But Esther, you have had a busy time. You've been gone from us for a while.
Yeah, I think it's been a full week in San Antonio, Texas. If you have never been there, I would say you have got to make it a point to get there somehow.
What should I see in Texas?
You have got to go to the River Walk. And then if you talk to the Reverend Greg Hasselhoff, who is from Texas, and the Joe Bruner, who is also from Texas, they will tell you that you need to eat at Bordo's. They make guacamole at your table for you.
Oh, wow.
And so thank you, Greg, for giving me that recommendation, and I fully endorse it. So a shout out to our Reverend Greg Hasselhoff.
And maybe I shouldn't have said, what should I see in Texas? Was that offensive to Greg and Joe? I'm so sorry. If you're listening, I'm so sorry.
I don't know, but you definitely have to see the Alamo, and you definitely need to do the River Walk.
Sounds good. Well, we're so happy to have you back.
Thank you, Maria.
Intercultural Affairs missed you.
It's good to be back on our campus. Thank you. I hope you all had a good week here last week.
We did. We did. We managed to survive without you, but it's not the same. We need you, Esther.
You are kind. You're kind.
Well, today we have a special guest with us from our Asian Student Alliance, ASA, Margaret Hughes. Margaret, welcome to our show.
Hi, I'm not expecting this.
Did I catch you by surprise?
It's right in front of me, and I'm still surprised.
We're so happy to have you. Esther and I are so surprising, right? We catch people off guard all the time.
Yes.
Margaret, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I am a proud member of the freshman faithful class, a biology major. In case some of you don't know, I am your vice president currently. I'm a Chinese descent, and I was adopted at 18 months, brought to Lexington, Kentucky, and I've been here for at least 16 and a half years.
Wow. Wow. So at 18 months, you took your first transcontinental flight. That's pretty impressive.
Yes.
That's great. Well, we're so glad you're here. And how did you end up at Asbury?
So my mother told me that our great-great-something grandfather, who is John Wesley Hughes, founded Asbury. And then my friend Livy later on told me, I wasn't originally interested in Asbury. I was like, oh, I'm probably going to UK because everybody goes to UK. but then my friend told me, since we play the violin, that I should check out the orchestra. And I did, and I really enjoyed it. And then I came back for a fall access, and I really fell in love with the science department, which is my major, obviously. And then that just brought me to it. So
many students say that when they step on campus, they just knew it was the place for them.
Yes.
We're so happy that you're here at Asbury and that you have this family connection to John Wesley Hughes.
Yeah, I think that's an incredible part of your story. Who would have known so many years ago, right, that somehow, Margaret, you would be connected to our founder in such a significant way. So as we continue to talk with you, Margaret, could you share with us a little bit about your background?
Okay. So as I mentioned earlier, I was adopted from China at 18 months. My mom went about a month right after 9/11 happened to go get me. And everybody, her brother, her family thought she was crazy. It was like, why are you doing this? And she's like, well, I want my daughter. So she adopted me from there. And then my mom later over the years told me my story, which was I was abandoned at a subway station under a bench, which in China, it's illegal to be caught abandoning a child or you'll be in jail. And unlike many children in China, I was in foster care, which is a blessing because it's a different, it's better in a way than the orphanage, because my orphanage wouldn't even let my mom go to the orphanage to visit because it was that bad of a situation there. And I was in a grocery store for foster care, which apparently I can picture myself sitting in a chair, watching TV and eating candy nonstop. So, and then about 2 years after that, my mom goes back to China and gets my sister Marcy from China too. So,
wow. That's an incredible story, right? Thank you for sharing that with us. Just, there's so much to unpack there, right?
Yes.
I told Esther, I have a son who was adopted, and I said, Esther, I promise I won't deep dive into my into all my feelings, but I love hearing stories of other kids who are adopted and how they make sense of their birth story. And yeah, so thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, and Margaret, I wonder, this is not a scripted question, so please forgive me, but I'm curious if you ever asked your mom, you know, what prompted her to take the step of adopting, you know, a child from China. So have you ever had a conversation of that nature?
I have asked her. Now, if you ask me now, I don't remember what her answer was, but I bet she'd tell me again. But I'm pretty sure God spoke to her. Like said, you might want to check into this. And I think she knew some people who had adopted too, and it was like, oh, that'd be good. She's a single parent, so she's like, that would be nice. But she sort of had it rough because basically my whole family's like, no, don't adopt, and turned her away. And now they're like, oh, I'm glad you adopted because we have such great girls in our lives, and they would have missed.
Thank you. Thank you, Margaret, for sharing that. So I think it's so critical for us to be attentive to those promptings that come. And your mom received a prompting and she acted on it, and God's good grace unfolded that story so beautifully and brought you to us through that story. So thank you.
Yeah, those kind of stories just sort of give me goosebumps, right? It's just evidence of God's continual restoration. Margaret, you and I talked about this when we met in my office, you know, that adoption always begins with loss. Yeah. We can't ever take that away, right?
Yeah.
But that God is continually restoring and redeeming. And so we just see that all over your story, right? Mm-hmm. We just step by step see where he stepped in and redeemed and restored. And even there just seems to be something really beautiful about sitting in this place on this campus and saying, here you are connected to John Wesley Hughes. Like Esther said, who would have thought that many years ago that it would come full circle, right? And all because your mom listened to God. So, wow. Amen. We could probably just stop there, right?
Yeah.
That'll preach for a while. Yeah. Well, thank you, Margaret, for sharing more about that and your background with us. Can you help us understand, as you were growing up, how you celebrated or just experienced Chinese culture growing up in Lexington?
So when I was around 7, maybe even younger, I'm not sure, but my mom wanted us to learn the language and get to know our culture better. So she enrolled us in the local Chinese school, and there's like 3 in Lexington. So we went to one, and I took it for at least 5 years. I'm not good at Chinese, partly because at that age I was like, it doesn't matter. Chinese doesn't matter. I'm just doing it because my mom wants me. But now I'm like, now in my stage, I wish I had paid attention and cared about it, because I've met people who speak it, and it's like, oh, I wish I could speak it too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my culture. But we also were enrolled in Chinese dance. Which wasn't the best, but it was also, I enjoyed it at the same time. I was the oldest in my class, and she was a real Chinese mother as a teacher. But then I later learned the pipa, which is a Chinese instrument, which is also part of the dance. And we, at the Chinese school, we would have festivals, and like maybe to a year, like for instance the Moon Festival, and we'd have mooncake and performances and games and just celebrate the moon. So it was really fun.
That's wonderful, Margaret. I'm kind of curious as to how you navigate this dual identity. You know, you were adopted, as you shared with us, at about 18 months of age, and you were transported into the United States and into this culture, into this context. So how have you navigated this dual identity that you have as an American and as a Chinese, and so as an Asian American now? How do you navigate that?
I know I'm Chinese, but I've never actually... Oh, I don't always think I'm Chinese. I'm like, I'm so American. My friends legit say I'm more white than their skin, and they're like really pale. And they're like, you're so white, Margaret. And I'm like, sorry. It's hard to do it. Like, now that I'm at Asbury, I'm actually surrounded by Asians who are willing to share their culture with me and help teach me some stuff that I don't know. Like, I'm learning Chinese again slowly, and I'm going to take it next year. But being with them has helped. But like in high school, I didn't really pay too much attention. I knew like I was Chinese. I still took lessons for dance and pipa and tai chi, but it wasn't really engraved.
Thank you, Margaret.
So maybe now, as you're coming into college, and as so many students are working through kind of identity formation, maybe that's sort of coming up for you now, more of your Chinese identity. And so interacting with other Asian students or Asian American students is sort of a gift for you as you are able to stay connected to your culture.
Yeah, I've been hanging out with the interculturals more, and being like, for instance, I just went to Connect, mm-hmm. and being surrounded by different cultures and getting to know them, and they speak like Korean and Chinese all the time. I'm like slowly picking up on words, mm-hmm. so it's like, it's really fun. It's a good enjoyment to be around.
Yeah. So you said, I'm more white than my friends, right? So can you talk about a time when maybe, or probably you have lots of examples of this, when something was assumed about you that wasn't true because people looked at you and saw Asian?
Yes.
And then acted as if you were Asian.
Yes. So like, for instance, at Chinese school, people just assumed I spoke Chinese, which I don't. I can speak a few, but not really well. But this Asian father would came up to me one day and he started speaking Chinese. I'm like, English, please? I'm like, I don't speak. He's like, oh, and then he struggled a bit trying to tell me, and I ended up having to direct him to a person who could actually speak Chinese. But people have assumed that I can speak the language, or they assume that I'm really good at math, and I'm like, I struggle. It's math and stuff like that.
But. Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of identity formation happening even still then as you navigate birth culture, culture now, form your identity at Asbury. Yeah, so when you come in contact with students now, how do you tell your story?
It varies, but usually I'm just like, hi, I'm Margaret Hughes, and then I introduce myself. I'm like, yeah, I'm from Lexington, and I'm like, also, side note, I'm adopted, because I used to never tell people that, mm-hmm. and I had a friend who, his name was James Yang, and I think he didn't know I was adopted, and we knew each other for at least a year, and then we decided to go to a movie, and my mom was going to pick him, we were picking him up for the movie, and he saw my mom, and he did like a double take, like, what? I didn't know that. I'm like, oh yeah, sorry, I don't normally tell people, but I'm starting to tell people more, so they just know more about me, mm-hmm. so.
Yeah, it's sort of something you take for granted, right? That's just who you are, so having to explain it.
Yeah.
There are lots of layers there.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think if we were having some technical difficulties with music, as you all noticed, and we also had technical difficulties with Margaret's music. She had a song picked out for us, but it's not working. But we are going to take a break, let Margaret rest her vocal cords. So if Sophie can take us away on a song, maybe. If not, maybe I'll sing, or Esther, you could sing.
All right, and that was Haley Steinfeld and Florida Georgia Line, and we are back with the Embrace Radio Show. Anything else you want to add, Maria?
Well, since I didn't get a chance to sing because the music worked, we'll just go back to asking Margaret questions.
Yes, we will gladly do that. So, Margaret, could you tell us a little bit about your faith? You know, because when we talk about one's identity formation or navigating different cultures, we cannot do that without speaking about the faith component. And I believe that it's a very critical piece of who we are. So how does your faith inform your identity? How does your faith contribute to your ongoing identity formation?
So I grew up in an Anglican church where we were always taught in Bible school, like, God is the Father and you need to follow him and Jesus Christ and stuff. And then I didn't know what I was learning. I was like, cool, little animals, that's amazing. But after coming here and being in the New Testament class that I'm enrolled in currently, I've come to remember and understand what it means to be a Christian, and also I remember stuff from class. I'm like, oh, I remember that. Not detailed, but I remember learning about it and knowing what it means. And then when I'm not, like, very feeling good about myself, I get down and I'm like, what am I? Who am I? And then I remind myself I'm a child of God. He loves me, and it doesn't matter what color skin we have or our ethnic background, he still loves us, and everybody should be reminded that from time to time.
Thank you, Margaret. That is such an important piece, that God loves everyone. It does not come with a classification that, you know, God loves so-and-so. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his son for all of us, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So thank you, Margaret. It is such a pleasure to have you on this show, to be sitting here with a granddaughter, I don't know how many generations removed, of our founder, John Wesley Hughes. So as we bring our show to a conclusion, Margaret, I want to ask you a very important question. Why do you think we need to be aware of cultures and ethnicities? Why does it matter?
Getting to know them, you can learn more about the people, and cultures are from everywhere, so you get to learn about different parts of the world, and getting to know those will help you get to know, like, your friends. You might not know much about them, but getting to know that culture, for instance, I have a friend, Jenny, and she is learning multiple languages, trying to get to know that. She wants to go back and to go to Korea and teach English over there someday too. So,
right. So getting to know cultures helps us know each other better. Yes. Also helps us to know God better, right? Mm-hmm. Which brings us back to identity, really. And we've talked a lot about identity and what does it mean when you're from two different cultures and you're navigating this, and then the extra layer of adoption. And I think that just when we talk about God and our identity being in him, and first we know we are loved by him, then all the other stuff can make sense, right? So when that's our foundation, then we can rest in that. And then we can celebrate, explore other cultures, understand ourselves better, understand others better. But we have to start with that foundation of who are we first in Christ.
Yeah, I think that's so critical, because I'm not sure that it removes the troubles, but I think being reminded that God loves us is an anchoring piece that we need to recall and remind ourselves that this is who we are.
Right. So. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I think we talked about this too in my office, Margaret, that, you know, we said adoption always comes with loss, but that's a lot of our stories, right? That they begin with something difficult, and yet God is always speaking restoration into that. So Esther's right. It doesn't take away the pain, but we can hold the pain and the good together at the same time because of this identity in Christ and what he's done for us.
Margaret, any other thoughts for us before we have a few announcements?
Just to, like, I'd like to add quickly Romans 12:2, which is, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I love that verse. I used it in my speech even. But with the cultures, you do not want to conform and change who you are based on your surroundings. You want to embrace yourself and share your culture with the world, basically.
Thank you, Margaret.
Yeah, thank you, Margaret, so much for sitting with us today. It was great to get to know you more and hear your story. I hope our listeners enjoyed it as well. Esther and I have some announcements for all of you Asbury students. We have some exciting things coming up with Intercultural Affairs. This Thursday, November the 1st, after your Halloween party is over, LSA is hosting the Day of Remembrance in the Stew. So this is kind of a combination event movie night. There will be some food. There will be a little bit of education on Day of Remembrance. And then there will also be a movie, Book of Life. So come out and join us at 7:30 in the Stew on Thursday. And then mark your calendars for December the 7th, the International Christmas Market, which is a super fun time. And it's a great time to be educated about other cultures. We will have food from all over the world. We will have items to purchase from all over the world, and we will have live music. So mark your calendars for December the 7th. And Esther?
Yeah. Yeah, I have an announcement about the Embrace Conference that's coming up. Students and faculty and staff, if you haven't had a chance to register yet, please go online and register yourselves. We are so excited to host the first of our annual Embrace Conference. And so there is more information in an email that I sent out to our campus a few weeks back. If you have any questions regarding that, please feel free to email me or email Maria Brown, and we will be happy to answer that question. And once again, listeners, I want to thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. And I want to remind you that we will be back here on November 13th.
2 weeks.
So please tune in then, and thank you for listening to us today. And especially, Margaret, thank you. And always a big thank you to Sophie for getting us on the air.
Thank you, Sophie, for saving us from our technical difficulties. Have a great day, everyone. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you.